Welcome into the Hateful Hitman Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Chris Strausball. It's Wednesday night. It's a day later. I got a perfectly good reason for it. We're going to talk college. We're going to talk NFL. We're talking Fantasy Championship Week. Welcome into the show. That's right, it's Fantasy Championship Week on the Hateful Hitman Show. If you are in one league, if you're in four leagues, five leagues, multiple leagues, and you're able to get one of those teams to the Fantasy Championship, congratulations. I myself am in 10 leagues. Nine of those leagues, I got one team to the championship this year. Another league runs 17 weeks, and you draft the playoffs. The one league I made it in is the All Podcasters League I've been talking about. Fantasy podcasters from around the country, 10 of us got together through the overtime heroics, and I was able to make it into the championship. Got past Lamar Jackson in the semifinals thanks to Jameis Winston. Got to the championship round. It's literally one versus two. That's how it shook out. The top two guys in the league, record-wise, points-wise, everything, is playing for the championship. Really excited, really nervous. My team was produced. I'm the leading scorer in that league, but I got smacked with injuries. Dalvin Cook, Chris Godwin. I mean, I could go on. There's more guys. I had Alexander Mattison as Cook's handcuff. He's hurt, so it's going to be who can scratch their way to enough points to win the championship in that one. Going to be definitely fun. I'll be a nervous wreck all weekend long. It is Wednesday. It's a day later on my podcast. I have a good reason for it. Today started the early signing period in college football. I'm going to talk a little bit about that here to start, and then we'll get into the NFL games. Didn't watch a lot of the NFL games this week. Had Christmas stuff going on, Christmas parties. Wasn't able to see a whole lot of it. So I got to be perfectly honest with you. I missed a lot more than I normally do. So we're going to talk college, and then we're going to throw some NFL in here that I actually did pay attention to, and we'll talk a little bit of injuries because, man, the injuries are going to play a big part in your fantasy championships this weekend. If you follow college football as much as I do, I love college football. It's so much fun to watch. It's even funner to play college fantasy. We are starting our own version of a college to Canton league with several of us. We're building it from the ground up. It's going to be a college fantasy combined with an NFL fantasy where you get Devy players that are also going to be in play here that you can transfer to your NFL teams. The winner of the college championship gets the 101 in the draft. After that, it will be ordered by order of finish. We still have a few spots available. That's why I bring this up. As of today, December the 18th, still have three spots. If you're interested in a spot, we're looking at probably $15-$20 entry fee into this thing, and the money breakdown is all to be determined later. We're doing it on Sleeper. We're going to do the NFL portion on Sleeper. The college portion's probably going to be done on Yahoo, considering Fantrax is just a little too much to navigate through. Really excited about it. We got seven people in it. Everybody seems to be on board, and it's going to be a lot of fun. If you want in and you're interested, find me on Twitter at HatefulHitman. Send me a message. Let me know you're interested. And if we have spots available, definitely you'll be in consideration for one of those spots. Speaking of college, I just want to talk about a few of those names that signed in places, a couple of them for Florida State. Really, really excited about. Mike Norvell has jumped in here with his feet just flying, probably burning holes in the soles of his shoes. Jumped in here and pulled in some quarterback recruits, something that Taggart was not able to do. I got some guys here I want to tell you about. The first one is Emmitt Smith Jr. Now, you may recognize the name. If you don't, then you're too young, and shame on you. Emmitt Smith Jr., and the reason that this is significant is he did not follow in his daddy's footsteps and go to Florida. Instead, he was smart about it, and he signed with Stanford. So that already shows you two things. One, he's smart because Stanford is a, you know, very high prestigious college known for, you know, knowledge and, you know, book work, and a lot of that comes out of their system with grades and, you know, high academics. Also smart that he didn't sign with Florida. Can't never be mad about that. So he is a four-star running back out of Dallas, of course, because that's where Emmitt Smith lives now. Chose Stanford over a couple other different schools that really thought they were going to land him, the way it seems. But you go ahead, Emmitt Smith Jr., and you go out there and you make your mark at Stanford and make your daddy proud. Okay, four-star quarterback C.J. Stroud, Rancho Cucamonga, California, goes to Ohio State. Okay, this guy's high on the list, and here's what you get with him. He gets to set now, okay, and play behind Justin Fields, learn the system, and fall into place, you know, a year or two down the road. It's just another stockpile of quarterbacks that Ohio State brings in. Okay, they lost out on Joe Burrow. You know, hopefully if this kid's got a lot of talent, you know, he doesn't stay for a year and say, you know what, you're not going to use me, I'm leaving, and go someplace else. But, you know, he's one of the higher-ups, you know, in the early signing period. Alabama lands what many say is the best quarterback out of the group. Five-star Bryce Young is going to Tuscaloosa, and, you know, he's going to fall in there in another one of those deals. A lot of these guys, you're not going to see them as freshmen. They're going to have to set for a year, two, depending on the situation with these schools they go to. But you want to see this, you know, you're putting stuff on the shelf for future years. And this is another guy who's going to come in, he's going to set and learn the system. And, you know, Saban, he may play. If Saban thinks he's good enough to play, he may play him. Gets in a situation, injuries, whatever. Saban's been known to play his guys, before maybe their time or before people, you know, expecting it. So I can't really say that he's going to sit when if Saban says, hey, you know, we're going to go with this guy due to injuries or transfers or whatever, he's in. But just what Alabama needs, another five-star blue-chip recruit coming in to help fuel that fire that is burning in Alabama. Lawrence Toafili, running back, goes to Florida State. This is very important because, for one, I like Florida State. Two, Jalen Knighton announced his decommitment from FSU back when Taggart was let go. Lawrence Toafili and Jalen Knighton were the two running backs that I was just all kinds of jacked up over when they announced their commitment back, you know, months ago. Toafili stuck around, signed. He's with FSU. This is important because Cam Akers is going pro. Former five-star recruit, Kalen LeBourne, isn't really worked out. Okay, he's been in trouble a couple of times, and he's not really produced on the field like a five-star, you know, athlete. Now, he did have a terrible injury last year, cost him most of the season. You know, with a full workload, can he be the guy? You'd hope so. But he's also been in trouble. So, you know, there's issues there with him. This Toafili kid, you know, he's big and strong, and I was reading the article, and he's exactly the type of running back that Norvell loves. So it wouldn't be crazy to see him actually play as a freshman or get some significant time, not only due to ability and athleticism, but, you know, depth chart and need at the position. So definitely a good one to keep an eye on in your Devy and your college leagues going forward next season. FSU loaded up on wide receivers when the word hit that Ron Dugans was staying on as the Florida State wide receivers coach. I think there was two wide receivers that stuck around because they were there because of Dugans. One of them was a big-time four-star wide receiver, and there's wide receivers that have gotten several to refill because Treshawn Harrison transferred out. I wouldn't be surprised to see him end up at FAU because he was a Taggart guy. He came there because of Taggart. Taggart left. He transfers out. He may end up at FSU or FAU with Taggart. So there's wide receiving needs in Florida State. But the big name, the big one we want to talk about, the quarterback that really was the talk of the day was Chubba Purdy, quarterback out of Arizona. Okay, flips from Louisville because of Mike Norvell. This kid wasn't even on Florida State's radar. And, you know, he's a four-star quarterback. They got him listed as a dual threat. I'm looking up his stats. 6'2", 210. Okay, and this was the big one. Okay, now, they say the biggest signing of the day was Damori Tate, you know, the defensive back on the other side. But this was the one. Okay, this right here. I don't know why he couldn't come in right off the bat and compete for the job, you know, day one. So another dual threat guy to hang on to, keep a name on, keep a name circled when you're getting your Devy and your Dynasty and your college leagues ready to roll. Be very interesting. This kid came to Florida State because of Mike Norvell. Okay, he was on his way to Louisville. They changed his mind. And that's pretty cool. Norvell's come in. He's been there a little over a week now, and he's brought in two quarterbacks that and Taggart couldn't bring in any. So there's some names right there. I'm not going to spend all podcast on college, which I could, and just go on and on and on. But there's some names for you right there to write down, keep an eye on these guys and see where they go. There's plenty more. Go to 27 Sports, and there's a list of like 100 names of early signees that are going to college. They're going to be there in the early signing period. They're going to get in school. They're going to get enrolled early. They're going to be ready to roll by the time the spring games roll around, and they're going to have that extra practice time to get themselves, you know, acclimated to the systems. Very important time if you do college or you do Devy. This is a very important day. The next two or three days, there's still two more days for the early signing period. So, you know, find your team, find your favorite team, okay? And go see who they got. Go see who they brought in. And, you know, that's how you learn. That's how you figure this out. That's how you learn about who to go after in college, who you go after in Dynasty and in your Devy leagues, because you watch them, okay? And, you know, these names, they may pan out, they may not. But when your name is Emmitt Smith Jr. and your dad is the NFL's all-time leading rusher ahead of Walter Payton, you need to pay attention that this guy went to Stanford. It's important. And it's big-time information that I'm giving to you. You are welcome. On to the NFL. What in the world has gotten into the Dallas Cowboy Jekyll and Hydes? All right, I was able to watch the biggest part of that game. I got home from the family Christmas party, able to watch that game, watch Dallas just completely take the Rams apart. Now, here's the thing. I put this on Twitter. They are a completely, this is where the Jekyll and Hyde comes in. They are a Jekyll and Hyde team when it's on the road or at home. Luckily, they have two games left. One of them's on the road, one of them's at home. They're in Philly this week, and then they play back home, you know, in AT&T Stadium against the Redskins. Got a really good chance to win the division. It's very aggravating, though, and I'm a Cowboys fan. It's very aggravating to me to look at this playoff picture. And I see teams with 9-10 wins that are on the outs, and here's the Cowboys sitting at 7-7. I don't disagree with you have to have a division winner. Somebody has to win it, and you get to go to the playoffs. Okay, I said this before. I think Dallas is going to end up winning the NFC East, and then they're going to get bounced, you know, in the first round by whoever they play. But luckily, I think if you win your division, you host a playoff game, so they may get past that, but I don't know. If they play like they did against the Rams the rest of this year, they could end up in the Super Bowl, but that's a bit of a stretch. But holy crap, I mean, and it was Pollard and Elliott. Now, Pollard had a big old run there at the end to ice it, but you know, it was Dak, medium numbers, 212, two touchdowns. But, I mean, Zeke went for over 100 and two scores. Pollard went for over 100 and a score. You know, they did it about everywhere. They didn't need Dak to really do his thing in order for them to win this game. The defense played well. The offense played well. Great game all around. You know, congratulations, Dallas. I hope you've got it together, you know, when you need to the most. How cool was it to see Buffalo on Sunday Night Football? Okay, it's a team that we're not used to seeing, you know, in primetime games. And, you know, for them to go in to Pittsburgh, you know, and win a tough game, 17-10, you know, and really come from behind in that game and beat Pittsburgh, you know, you got to like, and I think they got the Patriots this week, and, you know, that's a winnable game for them. Okay, the Patriots, everybody's whining the Patriots aren't, you know, the Patriots of old and all this and all that, but you still got Tom Brady, you still got Bill Belichick, okay, you still got a really good defense. So I don't feel sorry for them. At an 11-3, I don't feel sorry for them. Okay, people, I see people on Facebook, oh, poor Tom Brady. No, don't feel sorry for those guys. Don't. They're 11-3. They're not hurting. Okay, yeah, they went into Cincinnati and they were losing early. Okay, the Bengals came out and they had them down. Okay, but who really thought, you know, the whole entire game the Bengals were going to be able to keep that up and win that game? Not this guy. You know, Brady, pedestrian. I mean, 128, two touchdowns. You know, they got it done through other means. And their defense is carrying them this year. Tom Brady's, you know, been the first to admit that. So don't be surprised to see them make a deep run in the playoffs. Okay, don't be surprised to see them in the AFC Championship. And, you know, don't be surprised if they're in the Super Bowl again, because it's Brady and it's Belichick. And, you know, it's what we've come to see for year in and year out. I'm sick of it. I know other people are sick of it. Unless you're a Patriots fan, pretty much everyone's sick of it. Maybe deep down Michigan fans are, because that's where Brady came from. You know, maybe the Michigan guys are like, yeah, okay, this is cool. He's still able to do it. But, you know, for the most part, the rest of us are done. We've had enough of the Patriots. We're ready to see somebody else. But until somebody beats them, you know, they're still the Patriots. So you don't want to see them in the championships anymore? Beat them. That's how it works. Fantasy star of the week, somebody you're never going to guess, somebody clear out of left field, but he's been rapidly growing over the last month, and it may be due to injury to other people around him, but Anthony Miller has been an absolute fantasy machine over the past 3-4 weeks. And Anthony Miller killed me this past week in the league where I was the number 2 seed. It was me and another guy against basically the rest of the league. And it was destined to be number 1 versus number 2. But somebody, not naming names, but he goes by the Hateful Hitman on Twitter, left Anthony Miller out of the starting lineup, played Darius Slayton instead, and Anthony Miller went 9-for-118 in a touchdown, and I lost by 3 points because I didn't play Anthony Miller. Hitman Fantasy Player of the Week, Anthony Miller. As long as Taylor Gabriel is out, Anthony Miller is a must-play. I mean, they went into the frozen tundras of Lambeau Field. They lost. Okay, they lost a close game. They lost a Bears-Packers game. Okay, that's what that was. It was cold. It was nasty. It was Bears-Packers. Oldest rivalry in professional football. Trubisky still goes for 334. Okay, he must have heard me, you know, running my mouth about him and said, hey, I'm going to turn this on and I'm going to go crazy for the next little bit. So he did throw the 2 picks. The running game was a little inefficient. I thought for sure it would be the other way around. They'd want to run the ball. That was kind of my reasoning for not playing Anthony Miller. I thought with it being cold and nasty and windy and, you know, in Lambeau in December, but maybe the running game was going to be a little bit more paramount. It was not. You know, Robinson had a good game. Miller had a good game. Not playing Anthony Miller killed me, and I kicked myself for taking him out. I had him in. I thought, well, I think maybe maybe Slayton's a better, safer play, and I'm going to go with him instead. And I thought maybe the bubble might burst on Anthony Miller, but he has produced for several weeks now. What a game. What a season. The second half of the season for Miller has been fantastic. I may be finally ready to say that even though Jameis Winston throws 2 to 3 picks every game, it's like he has to throw one early. Like, you see, it's like almost his first or second pass gets picked almost every week. Okay, but 456 and 4 touchdowns erases the three picks. Now, those 3 picks may have been a little closer score with it being 38-35, but what a fantastic fantasy day Jameis Winston had. And I was able to get past Lamar Jackson due to Jameis Winston's big game. Still no running game. There's no end in sight. I mean, there's not going to be any end in sight for this running game. It's terrible. It's beyond terrible. So Jameis Winston is going to throw and throw and throw. The only problem here is Chris Godwin got hurt. I don't know the status of him yet. Questionable is last I heard. Nah, I said Colts. I was thinking last week. They played the Lions this week. Still the same result. Winston still went for 450 plus, 4 touchdowns, only threw the 1 pick early. You get the feeling that he's getting it. Okay, you get the feeling that, you know, aside from the turnovers, he's getting it. The only problem here is Chris Godwin went for 5 and 121 and he's hurt. Like I said, it's questionable. I haven't heard his status. Scotty Miller, who had been kind of blooming with Mike Evans being out, is now on IR. Okay, so enter Brett Perryman, who I picked up in 2 leagues this week. 5 for 113, 3 touchdowns. Is he going to be the new guy, the next guy up, next man up mentality? Well, I hope so, because if Godwin can't go, I'm going to roll out the Winston-Perryman stack in my championship game this week. And, you know, hope that he throws it to him. And, you know, you can sprinkle in some O.J. Howard and some Cameron Braid in there. But I really want Justin Watson to be a thing, because I was kind of high on him coming out of Penn a couple years ago. But it seems to be that, you know, Breshad Perryman. Why do I keep saying Brett Perryman? Breshad Perryman is... It looks like he's the guy now, especially if Godwin's out. He's the mainstay there, and he's the safer of the wide receiving crew there in Tampa. Vikings Chargers. Vikings win in a roll, 39-10. But here's the problem: Dalvin Cook goes down for the second straight game, does not return. Okay, conflicting reports now. Zimmer said he's good to go. I think Ian Rappaport said probably going to miss this week. And you're already without Alexander Mattison. Even if Cook plays, I have him in the championship league. I have him in the league where I play, you know, till week 17. I can't play Cook this week. Okay? I just can't. Even if he plays and they say he's starting, personally, I got to put Cook on the bench. Because he had 9 carries for 27 yards, and he got hurt and was out the rest of the game. Mike Boone came in, got 2 touchdowns that could have went to Dalvin Cook had he been in the game. I can't trust it. The problem is I don't really have a whole lot. Okay, I got Kareem Hunt, and I got Melvin Gordon, who's been struggling. Now, of course, this game got away from the Chargers, and they got away from the run game. So, you know, maybe Melvin Gordon's still a good play, but I've still got Chris Carson in a good matchup, so I have at least one solid running back into the championship. But personally, I can't play Dalvin Cook. If you got shares of Cook out there and he's healthy and you play him, you could really benefit, because he could, you know, score a couple touchdowns and be just fine. But it's just too big of a risk considering the last 2 weeks he's left games. 2 weeks ago, he got you a touchdown, saved your fantasy day before he got hurt. This week, not so much. Just when you think you know the direction the NFC West is going. The Falcons go out there and beat the Niners. I mean, what year is it and what world are we living in? I mean, there's no way anybody would have predicted this to happen. You know, an 11-3 San Francisco team playing a 5-9, not going to the playoffs, not doing anything, Atlanta Falcons team goes out there and wins. And really, it's because of one guy. Okay, Julio, 13 for 134, two scores. If you saw the last touchdown where they threw him the ball and he was kind of going into the end zone and he kind of stretched out and the ball just touched the plane and then they called it touchdown. Then they called it not a touchdown and the Niners won. Well, then they looked at it and they called it a touchdown and the Falcons won. It was a crazy ending to a crazy game that I don't understand. San Francisco must have just overlooked them. Okay, they must have said, oh, okay, it's Atlanta. They're 4-9 coming in here. We're 11-2, and we're just going to smoke them. And holy crap, they just forgot to win. They just forgot to win. On the good news, on the good side, Raheem Mostert had a touchdown, 54 yards, saved your fantasy day with his 14 carries. Now, he didn't have much in the receiving game this week because George Kittle did it all. But I still like Mostert over Coleman, over Breida. I still think he is the best option in San Fran, and I want to run him out there this week in a couple my championship game I'm in. This next one stings to the point where it really stings me bad. Cardinals 38, Browns 24. I could care less about the score, okay? I played Baker Mayfield. After everything I read and everything I listened to told me not to play Baker Mayfield, find another option. I played Baker Mayfield over Kyler Murray, and obviously Kenyon Drake had all the scoring in that game with his four touchdown day. If you played him, you're definitely going to the championship. Kyler Murray outscored Baker Mayfield probably because of the rushing. Baker did have the more passing yards and two touchdowns, but he did throw a pick. And I thought it was a safer play in Arizona against the Cardinals. 4-9, you know, a 3-8-1 team coming in. I thought the Browns would go in there and get a win. I thought Baker would come in and have a good game. Turns out it cost me. Turns out if I'd have played Kyler Murray in the league, I would have won that league as well. So this pains me deep. After everything I listened to, they said, don't play Baker Mayfield. Don't play Baker Mayfield. So what did I do? I thought, well, I'm going to play Baker Mayfield, and if I'm right, I hit the jackpot. If I'm wrong, I'm going to hate myself. Well, I hate myself. So that stings. I'm trying to not jump off the Baker wagon, but, you know, I made a post on Twitter. You know, I've about seen enough, and I just don't know. I mean, they're 6-8. It's not a bad – they can still end up 500. But they just don't look – I keep wanting to give them the benefit of the doubt week in and week out, but I'm about done with it, and I'm about done for making excuses for them, and, you know, they're the Browns, you know. But, hey, if they get to 500, you know, good season, Cleveland, if you get to 500. But you could also lose the last 2 weeks, very possible, and be 6-10. I saved the best game for last. It was Drew Brees versus the Colts. And it was one man. Okay, it was Drew Brees, and he went in. It was a home game. He plays better at home. He's on the road this week. He plays better at home. The Colts come in, and he beat the Colts. It was Drew Brees over the Colts, 34-7. 307, four touchdowns for Brees. The guy is awesome. I love watching Drew Brees. I love rooting for Drew Brees. I love the Saints because of Drew Brees, and I can't wait till he goes into the Hall of Fame because he's more than deserving of the award. And this night was all about him. He broke the record for passing touchdowns. And, you know, it was all about him and his guy, Michael Thomas, another 12 catches, another 128 yards, yawn, and another touchdown. The guy continues to put up fantastic number. He gets targeted and targeted and targeted over and over again. If you have Michael Thomas and say you have a mixture of Lamar Jackson or Christian McCaffrey or even Jameis Winston, you're probably still playing, you know, this weekend because he has been a constant for you. Even when it was Bridgewater, he was still a constant for you. So what a fantastic season. He is my wide receiver of the year, my wide receiver one. If I was ranking, which I don't do rankings very often, but if he was my rankings, somebody made a post on Twitter, if you were starting a franchise, who would you start it off with? And I reluctantly said Lamar Jackson because, you know, he's an electric player. I said a healthy Dalvin Cook and Michael Thomas would be my wide receiver. Those would be the three guys that I would want to start with. And it's really close between Cook and McCaffrey. I picked Cook just out of the, you know, the homer pick. But Michael Thomas is the best wide receiver in the NFL. And there's nobody close, not even Hopkins this year. And he's the best, and I hate to say that. He's from Ohio State, but you root for this kid. Okay, he goes out there. He puts up gigantic numbers. He does it. He doesn't run his mouth. You know, he keeps himself clean on and off the field. And you root for this kid. He's good for the game. He's good for the sport. And, you know, congratulations, Michael Thomas, wide receiver of the year. Fantastic season. But because of those two guys, Alvin Kamara owners are suffering this year. Alvin Kamara, a completely down year, and I would go as far as to say a bust season for Alvin Kamara. Not maybe in the real sense, because he has done, you know, he has played a factor, but in the fantasy world, he would probably be at the top of my list of bust players. And I will do that. I will have one of those shows in the off season. I'll do a boom bust for the year, and he was definitely going to be on it after the season that he had. It's just not what anybody had expected. I kind of saw it coming. He needs help, and he needs a compliment, you know. And that the compliment of him and Ingram was really working. And it's not hurting Ingram, but it's hurting Kamara. And I hate it for him because, you know, big fan of the guy. We actually went down and saw him, you know, at the combine work out that day with running backs. And, you know, you just like what you've seen. And, you know, buddy of mine, Kane Harder, that's kind of his guy. You know, it's been his guy for, you know, since his rookie year. And it's not panning out. And, you know, maybe they get it together next year and regroup and stuff, especially if Breeze retires, you know, and they have to change up their formula. Maybe it's a bigger game plan for Kamara going forward. But right now it's Breeze and Thomas. And until you can stop it, that's what it's going to be. Okay, so what do we got? We got championship weekend, okay? Do not forget, check your waiver wire, check your injury report, keep an eye on it because there's a big reason why. Go to the teams you're still alive in. See who's been dropped. Okay, if you can grab a Breshad Perriman, a Mike Boone, go get them if you're still playing. Check your injuries between now and tomorrow and Friday, because we have three NFL games this Saturday, and there's three important ones, okay? The Bucks play the Texans. This is important because, what I just say, Chris Godwin may not play. This may affect Jameis Winston. You got the Bills and the Patriots this week in Foxborough on Saturday. You got the Rams and Niners kicking it up in an AFC West showdown in the nightcap. A lot of fantasy potential, a lot of fantasy value on those three games. Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, Josh Allen, Tom Brady, Jared Goff, and his bevy of wide receivers. Todd Gurley, who's been looking better. Okay, Garoppolo. I'm not big on Garoppolo. I'm not a big Garoppolo guy. But, you know, Raheem Mostert. There's a lot of fantasy value this weekend on Saturday. Do not forget about it. Okay, because as soon as you do and you forget that there's games on Saturday, it may cost you a fantasy championship. Don't let that happen. This may be it for me. This may be my only championship run. In that league where we play 17 weeks and you draft the playoffs, I took a loss. It was a significant loss. There's two divisions, and our division is very, very tough. It's very competitive, very tight within a game or two of each other, and not everybody's getting in. And I took a loss, and it really hurt me. Somebody has to go from the lower division. Somebody has to get in. So, you know, I may be out. This may be it for me. So, and you guys maybe only in one championship or two or whatever, but you know, make sure your ducks in a row. Make sure you do your due diligence, and you know, make sure your lineup's set. Okay, but double, triple check it. Make sure they're, you know, look at it, because you could overlook a guy. If you're in several leagues and you overlook a guy and you're like, forgot about him. Don't be that person. Okay, win your championship. Find me on Twitter. Let me know what you did. Let me know how you did, win or lose. Find me on Facebook. Either way, enjoy the championship weekend, because after this, football's over. We got the playoffs, and we got this nasty, dry off season, and we got, you know, until August, until it kicks back off again. So enjoy this last little bit. College bowl games are going to be kicking on pretty soon. They're going to be kicking up here real soon. Okay, so enjoy it. Like I say every year, enjoy the college bowl games. Enjoy the rest of the NFL season and the playoffs, because when it's over, we're out for a long time. That'll do it for me on this cold, nasty evening here in Ohio. My name is Chris Strauswald. You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. You can find the show on Podbean, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Pod. Any way you listen, I do appreciate it. If you listen to me on Apple Pod, give me a 5-star review. Let me know you did it. Have a great week. Good luck in your championships. See you next time on The Hitman Show.